Permanent Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this August the 10th on the West Coast, now August the 11th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. I'd like to welcome all those listening in around the world on Wind Talkers Radio Network, blogtalkradio.com. And just tell you, starting out, there's a tremendous amount of garbage that hasn't been picked up by the local waste collectors. And there is definitely an orchestrated campaign. It seems to have come out of nowhere, although one Dr. Len Horowitz, who I thought was my friend and whose show precedes this show Tuesday night, has taken it upon himself and an alleged Fox News journalist by the name of Sherry Kane to start slandering a bunch of people, accusing people of being accessories or behind murder of journalists, and two in particular, Christopher Story, a.k.a. Christopher Edward Harrell Story, F-R-S-A, himself a knight. And in regard to what's been written, I mean, all of this hit me out of nowhere. There were emails flying around being CC'd to other people, as Dr. Horowitz and Sherry Kane accurately described. And accusations were being made, and on my show last night, this article was mentioned, but I hadn't had a chance to read it. I read it, and I was quite surprised to learn that there were people insinuating that I had something to do with the murder of Don Harkins, which is absolutely preposterous. Absolutely preposterous that someone would make such a charge. The only ones who would make that is someone who's trying to discredit research that's revealing the truth and showing you what's really going on in the world. That said, and I'm not going to take up the whole show tonight, I'll discuss this on a later show this week. And I had Drew Raines scheduled to be on my show. I did invite Ingrid Castle to the show. Ingrid and I are very good friends. She never has accused me of being behind Don Harkin's murder. She knows that it's preposterous, and she knows the circumstances under which he died, which I had nothing to do with. I didn't own an NSA satellite, and I did not shoot Don with a chip. These are things that he's talked about. I'm not responsible for massive amounts of radiation on his property in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, or I should say his former property. He was a very close friend. And certainly it seems to me that when you mix up obvious disinformation agents with bona fide journalists who are putting the truth out there, then it tends to lump everybody in one category. Either they're all operatives or they're all honest. But you haven't heard all the facts in regard to who's writing this, who's orchestrating this hit campaign on Dr. A. Truat, whose work I have tremendous respect for, me, David Icke. There are a few others who are mentioned. Now, I don't have to agree with what anybody writes, but certainly when people start slandering you and defaming you and libeling you, both in writing and on the radio, they're carrying out a mission. Why all of a sudden are people being blamed for these things? Well, I'm dismayed if the story about Christopher Story's murder is true, I'm just as dismayed as I was when Don Harkins passed away. Don's lingering illness was attributed to be a rare form of cancer, which was in the bones. And it was radiation-induced. And they were irradiating him when he was at the hospital, and he left the hospital to try to recover from all this radiation. But it was impossible. And Ingrid was informed of what was going on. We were able to get to the truth. Trust me on that. We're able to get to the truth, and we're able to tell her what happened. So these attacks, Truot's been under attack for months. I've been off and on under attack by the provocateurs that come on to radio shows and make outrageous claims. And I'm not working for anybody, in case anybody wants to know. I have no relationship with Greg Zemanski. I called into his show back in 2006. He was very interested in my research on George H.W. Bush, a.k.a. George H. Scherf, Jr. He was very interested. Why should I send him my research? And he goes by several names, not just Greg Zemanski. He actually pronounces his name Zizmanski, although it's written Zemanski. I find that a bit strange. Well, it's probably because it's not his real name. But he has a whole collection of names, and I tout Dr. Horowitz and Miss Kane's research in that area. I have nothing to do with these people. Chris Story himself has pegged that individual as an operative. The day after he lost the show at RBN, he all of a sudden was a doctor in jurisprudence on his own website. I investigated Leo Wanta, and by the way, I'm going to be bringing my guest on in a moment, but I thought it was important to read what Christopher Story said about my research and the piece that I did on Wantagate, because I shared that with him. And he had some very interesting comments to make about my work, and I have to say that I was pleased that he saw my work and knew what it was. Now, what Mr. Story and what I didn't know is at the time, Leo Wanta was playing a role. It was a diversionary tactic to get everybody to look at Wantagate as the story, while trillions of dollars were being embezzled. And there are many accounts. Saying someone stole $58 billion is a drop in the bucket. There were accounts that Christopher Story himself published, which I had on my website and attributed to him, that on two different occasions, $4.5 trillion was stolen. It was money that was put into Bank of America, went to Citibank, New York, the Chemical Bank, J.P. Morgan, all the Wall Street banks. They were playing ping pong with this money. Citibank was one that was mentioned for quite some time. Robert Rubin's involvement in that. And the same names, the same people kept coming up. And this was something he was reporting, and there were others who were following this, and the information kept coming out. I'm going to read something to you that Christopher Story wrote to me about my work, and he knew who I was then, and I haven't changed. I'm the same person. The only difference is that when I met Mr. Story, Don Harkins was alive, and the last time I had communication with him, which was June 10th of this year, we were not on good terms because he was accusing me of having been behind the murder of Don Harkins, which is, again, I say preposterous. And it was, I discovered his comments in an email posted on Rumor Mill News by one Tim White, a known disinformation agent, who has tried to discredit Ken Adachi. He's tried to discredit Ted Gunderson, John DeCamp, anybody who's exposing rampant fraud in the government or exposing the the child sex slave ring through Child Protective Services. So Mr. Story said to me on February 6th of 2007, Don, your piece is excellent. Have now read it properly. He was a bit critical about it in the beginning, but he hadn't read it. No wonder the boss liked it. He's referring to Leo Wanta. There are various points I would quibble with in terms of timeline, etc., but that is ridiculous of me. It is a tour de force. You are to be congratulated. A brilliant summary. And basically, that's all it was a summary on this story. But what I came to find out, and I will be sharing with you all this information on Thursday, is that Mr. Story was sort of playing both sides of the fence and didn't know everything there was to know about Leo Wanta and who he is. Of course, if you go by that name, it's a tough road. If, however, you do a little bit of work and due diligence, you find out that certain things aren't adding up. I alerted Mr. Story to the fact that Leo Wanta is known to have been in Kansas City in 1995 when he claims he was in a gulag in Oklahoma. He was photographed going into a Hong Kong bank in 1997, and he would have nothing of that. At that point, our relationship started to decay a bit, you could say, because he didn't like being told something that he was unaware of. Or I had the question, was he aware of it? And as time went on, we rekindled our communications and talked from time to time about things I had discovered, he had discovered, and he sent me many emails and never to my face said anything nasty or accusatory. It was only before this alleged death. And I say alleged because we found out about Christopher Story's passing 16 days after it allegedly occurred. And there were two different accounts of what happened. One was that he was poisoned, and another one said that he was shot walking down the street. So which story do you believe? There we have the dialectical argument showing its face, as usual. And those that are behind these things are being found out. But to accuse someone of committing murder, it's no more correct for anyone or right for anyone to accuse me of somehow being behind Don Harkin's murder than it is to accuse Dr. Len Horowitz of being behind Christopher Story's murder. That's just as equally preposterous. And I want to make that point. But we'll deal with that on another night. I'd like to welcome back, after a long time, an author and a fellow talk show host, and he has a show currently on Oracle Broadcasting. He used to be with RBN. He's written many books on a variety of topics, and he has a background on the religious side in the beginning, and he's got probably much to say about that. I welcome to Evident Footprints, after quite a hiatus, my good friend Charles Giuliani. Charlie, how are you?
Yeah, not bad. Good to be on, Don.
I apologize for taking up so much time at the top of the show, but it's that had to be said.
I'm glad you did, actually, because I was forgetting that I was supposed to be on Skype. I was expecting a phone call. I think that's how you used to do the show. At least most of the interviews I've done have been over the phone. And all of a sudden, I'm looking at my clock and realizing, oh, wow, it was a couple minutes past. And then it dawned on me, you know, so I quickly logged on. And so, I'm glad you had that little delay so I could disguise my tardiness here.
Well, that's all right. You were showing not online. And when I called, I just got music. And I thought, well, this isn't right.
Oh, boy. Sorry about that.
Okay, so welcome back to the show. What's going on in your world these days? You've moved to another network. You've written many books, at least 20, if I
recall. Yeah, that's still the number. It hasn't gone up yet, although I have a few projects in the wings I'm thinking of starting up. But right now I've been so busy doing research for future shows. It's amazing the stuff I'm learning. Just when you think you've figured it out, that's when you really need to start doing your research. You haven't even scratched the surface yet. If you think you've got it figured out, you're kidding yourself. There's a whole world of mysteries out there to explore. I'm not just talking politics. That's a big mystery right there. there's never any end to things to investigate because there's so many fiascos that, not only that they pulled in the past, but they're still continuing to pull right now. So there's so many things to expose there. But, you know, just in the world of science, of history, medicine, it's amazing the stuff I'm learning. So, yeah, I've been busy with that. I've jumped around, as you know, from many different networks. Right now I am with Oracle. And I found it to be a really pleasant experience, a great bunch of guys to work with, very open-minded. You know, I've never been told you can't have this person as a guest, you can't talk about that subject, never, not once. So, you know, this total freedom to go off in any direction, and that's how it should be.
Yeah, they have great sound, too.
Yeah, it's working out really well. I've been used to having a board operator, but this is a whole different thing. It's all automated. And I've had a few problems, but then again, I had problems when there was a board operator too. So what's the difference? Yeah. You're always going to have problems with doing internet radio or even just regular broadcasting. There's problems, but in spite of all that, for the most part, it's going very well. I really enjoy it.
Yeah, Michael Anthony sends his best to you, by the way.
Oh, did he? Did you talk to him earlier?
Well, he knew you were going to be on the show, and he just
to
let you know.
He actually called in on my show this morning.
Oh, did he?
Or yesterday morning, whatever you want to call that. Since we are into Wednesday now.
Yeah. What's your take on what's going on? Let's talk about this fiasco in the Gulf, first of all. What do you see going on there?
Well, like so many other things, it's another fiasco, another scam. When you look at both, BP's former CEO as well as Goldman Sachs dumping their BP stocks, or at least a significant portion of them, right at the same time, just a few weeks before the disaster, the timing of the disaster, once again, what was it, April 20th, I believe, or was it the 19th?
It happened, it was reported on the evening of April 20th to have happened at 10 p.m.
Right. So, I mean, April 19th, April 20th has been a very prominent reoccurring date in, pertaining to scams in political history. We've had, of course, the Waco incident, the Oklahoma City bombing, both of those were on April 19th. April 20th, you had Columbine and numerous other occurrences. Apparently, there's some type of floating holiday, if you will, that occurs around that time of the year. Some year it might be on the 19th, some the 20th, kind of like the solstice thing.
Mm-hmm.
Seems to be what's going on with that. By the way, April 20th is Hitler's birthday, which is big in certain circles. Amongst our Nazi leaders, I'm sure they must, idolize the guy.
Yeah, it was also the anniversary of Columbine.
Right, that's what I just mentioned, right, Columbine.
Oh, I didn't hear you say Columbine.
Right.
For some reason
right.
I was zeroing in on Hitler. Yeah, Columbine was part of that, and
exactly.
There's a whole background to this whole thing regarding this well or two wells that are in the vicinity of what's being described as one. And there's a lot of background stuff involving Goldman Sachs, 11 investment companies that took a big hit on the put options that they didn't play because they were holding on to the stock.
Well, and there's so many factors here. There's like half a dozen safety mechanisms that are in place at any given time when you do a drilling operation. And it turns out that all half dozen or so of these precautions were defective. You know, there was this huge rubber seal that was supposed to have been a backup to kick in, and turns out, you know, that was cracked. Then there's supposed to be these pipes that come down and drop, you know, to fill in the hole and to siphon any leakage, and, you know, those weren't in place. And, you know, you got to wonder. You just got to wonder, what are the chances of all of this being accidental? It's like 9/11. You know, there's so many bizarre occurrences around what happened that day. How many things can you write off as coincidence?
There was an exercise being orchestrated to prevent a plane from flying into the World Trade Center on that morning.
I mean, right, Vigilant Guardian. There was actually about 8 different exercises. But, yeah, Vigilant Guardian had fake blips on the screen, which was causing confusion. Now, obviously, that explains at least some of the lack of response that morning.
Yeah. It's another false flag event. That's what's going on
at
golf. But there's a paper trail to it, okay? And the paper trail basically is about cap and trade. Notice all of a sudden you're not hearing much talk about cap and trade, are you? It's under the radar.
Right.
And that's because they'll wait until after the election. First of all, they want to give everybody the impression that that's why it's not being discussed, but it's been revealed who's behind this. CCX, Carbon Credit Exchange in Chicago, Shore Bank, which has been set up to be the repository of all that money going in, and the connections to these same usual people.
Right.
This is why people are being attacked. This is why journalists are being attacked. And whether one is aware of that in these attacks, I mean, I'm exposing the corruption on the financial side, and as a result, I'm accused of having something to do with a good friend's murder. Is that not a setup?
Yeah, I was listening to you talking about that before the show. No surprise, huh?
No, and this is, you know, this is going on with a lot of people. I mean, they've been trying to do this to Dr. H. Watt, Ed Steele's in jail in the state of Washington for representing some people. You know, this is payback for a case that he took some time ago. And really, the reason for Don Harkin's murder, as far as we know, is that he was going to be exposing the very topic that Dr. H. Watt discovered or discussed on his show this evening, and that was regarding the child ritual abuse and the kidnapping and abduction of children all over the world and the selling of them. And it's been exposed by many people. He had Jimmy Rothstein and Doug Millar on the show.
Sure, that's what CPS is all about.
Well, yes. Okay. So Don was, I understand he was in communication with Nancy Schaefer, who they say was murdered by her husband, who then committed suicide. She had exposed this herself. and they raised some good questions. Why doesn't law enforcement investigate this? It's going on, and it has been going on. That's not
very interesting how often suicides occur involving people that expose government corruption. When are people going to snap out of it and realize how many times does it? How about suicides where people shoot themselves twice in the head, like, Gary Webb exposing CIA drug trafficking, shoots himself in the head twice? Come on.
Yeah, I've got a lot to say about all this, but it's for another night because I wanted to get into your perspectives on what you see happening. I'm sure we pretty much agree on most things that we'll talk about, but you have such a great radio voice. And you're so authoritative.
Thanks. Well, yours isn't so bad either.
Well, it's the only one I have, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Knock on wood, huh?
Yeah, right.
Well, tell us a little bit for the listeners that haven't heard you. You know how you became a talk show host and a journalist, a writer, a researcher. I know that that has a lot to do with your religious conviction and the path that your life was heading at a certain point. If you want to start from there.
Well, I wouldn't use the term religious conviction in the present tense. You know, that's one of the amazing things I've been finding out recently. That's yet another thing we've been lied to about. But I'm not sorry for my past experience in that realm because it did lay the groundwork for where I'm at today. Having served as a, quote, minister, well, I was a student pastor. Actually, prior to that, I worked for a couple of years as a voluntary lay pastor. Didn't get paid. And then later when I went to school, I was paid a stipend. It was kind of like my practicum, if you will. But it was good because it gave me a lot of experience speaking publicly. I used to be really shy in school years ago. You know, up until about the seventh grade. For some reason, I come out of my shell and became an obnoxious class clown. But there was a time where I wouldn't even... you know, raise my hand to give an answer in class, and I would shriek in terror if the teacher ever called on me to give an answer. I just never wanted to speak, you know, in front of people. Now people can't shut me up. But but what really gave me that experience getting up and going off onto a diatribe was those years as a pastor, quote unquote. So I am glad for that experience. What got me into writing was as a result of all the research I had done, for writing sermons and whatnot, I started turning some of my sermons into books, you know, expanding on them. And then, you know, as time went on, I started figuring out that, you know, the government isn't what it professes to be. But even before that, though, I found out that, you know, the church that I was a part of was lying. I uncovered some of their naughty little secrets, the little skeletons in the closet. And once I found out that, you know, religious institutions are lying, it wasn't just my church per se, actually. The lies I uncovered pertain to all the churches. You know, there's a lot of lies that they've been telling. And so once I looked under that rug, I figured, geez, if religious organizations that are supposed to be honest and represent God... if they're lying, you know, maybe governments are doing this too. And so this just opened up a whole world. And now I started committing to paper what I was finding out about the government. You know, my first book I wrote was called Strange Bedfellows. The first book I wrote was on the Trinity. That was one of my first initial discoveries, that the Trinity was a 4th century creation of the Vatican. And that it wasn't in the Bible. Well, little did I know at the time that the Bible itself, was filled with, you know, contradictions. And, it's just another lie that we've been sold. I only came to that understanding, Don, in the past 6 months, back in February. Mm-hmm. That was quite a shock for me. As you know, most of my life, I was a big defender of the Bible. I still think that there's something out there. I don't think we're the result of some freak chance accidents, but that something is certainly not the God of the Bible, who I now see as a tyrannical monster who commands you to go into villages and kill everything, or at least he commanded ancient Israel, kill everything that breathes, including young suckling infants, and show no pity upon them. Anybody thinks that's a loving God, you better... rethink your position. That's more the voice of a devil than it is a loving, merciful God. But anyway, so, you know, once I saw that organized religion was corrupt, religion in general, I still didn't give up the Bible yet, but, you know, I saw organized religion was corrupt. I saw that they were lying and exploiting people and cheating them. So I wondered, geez, if that's going on there, it certainly must be going on in the government. And so from there, the next book I wrote was called Strange Bedfellows. It was about big government and big business and big finance in bed with each other and screwing everybody else. And I'll tell you, here I am, 14 years later. I went to college late in life. 14 years later, and I'm still uncovering this mess, still learning new things that it just blows my mind. Every time I get a new book and dig further. It's like, oh my God, that too? That screwed up too? They lied to us about that too? Nothing's sacred. Literally. Nothing is sacred.
What you're saying, Charlie, what you're saying is begs the question, why lie to people about the nature of God?
Well, the same reason they lie about everything else. You can exploit them, take advantage of their goodwill and their sincerity, and get them to give you money that you tell them is being used for God's work when you're lining your fat pockets with it. And, you know, I mean, let's face it, most ministers live high off the hog. They get a nice early retirement. They get good vacations, church subsidy mortgages on their homes, church subsidized mortgages. Their kids very often get free tuition, or at least the bulk of their kids' tuition is paid for in the church-run schools. I mean, just look at all these kickback benefits. And so to keep that money flowing, keep this benefit package running, you have to sucker the people into giving more and more money.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, it's quite effective. It works.
Yeah. Is there anywhere in the Bible or in the Constitution that requires a church to be a 501c3 corporation?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, that's just one of the many ways that, you know, organized religion was corrupt on its own. It didn't need the government's help, but that certainly completed the picture. Through contractual agreement now, and you know, it's amazing how this began. This started only back in the late 1960s. And how it started was the government came along and started offering church leaders, which they knew were already in love with money. They said, hey, how would you like your congregation members to give bigger and more generous donations every week? Oh, yeah, that sounds great, they said. How could that happen? Well, if you sign up for a 501c3 tax-exempt corporation status, you can have your parishioners write off their contributions on their taxes. You don't need a 501c3. The Constitution already grants you tax exemption. But if you would like this this added benefit, you know, people are more likely to give more money if they know they're going to get it back at the end of the year, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they thought, yeah, and sure enough, it worked brilliant. Once they were told they could write these things off on their taxes, now the church kept records. They hired a treasurer, and every week, or at the end of every year anyway, they would send you a printout, because at the end of every week, when you signed your little tithe envelope or your offering envelope, you put your name on it, how much was in there. They kept record of all this, and at the end of the year, here's your record of all you gave. You send that with your tax returns, and boom, you get a nice little, you file that with your taxes, get a nice return at the end of the year. And so what happened was, as more and more churches saw the benefits of this and jumped on board with it, the illusion was created over the past several decades that it's actually required by law, because so many of them have been doing it for so long. That's how they snuck the income tax in on us, you know, back in World War II, under the what was called the victory tax. They got a lot of people to jump on board because, after all, you want to support the U.S.'s war effort, don't you? You want to be patriotic? It was only 5% of people's wages then, so it wasn't that big of a deal. And they were promised it would be removed at the end of the war. Of course, that never happened. And as the years rolled on, the impression was given that it's law that you have to do it. Of course not. It's not law at all. It's all a fantasy. It's a fairy tale. But you try unvolunteering yourself for this voluntary tax, and you'll get the SWAT team at your door. And, by the way, the same is true with the 501c3 fiasco. You know, when Bushy Boy first took office, literally took office in January of 2001, one of the first fiascos that occurred under his administration was a raid on the Baptist Temple in Indianapolis, biggest in the country, 25,000-member church. The feds marched in, boarded the thing up, and said, you are not allowed to hold services again until you register as a 501c3 tax-exempt corporation. They didn't want that designation because they knew it came attached with all kinds of stipulations, i.e. you can't speak against, you know, government policies and whatnot. I mean, this is something out of Stalinist Russia. You don't have freedom of religion in this country anymore, folks. Of course, when you understand how organized religion works, why the hell would you want anything to do with it anyway?
Yeah.
But the truth is, you don't. It's gone.
Well, I agree with you. And this has occurred many times all over the place. And then you wonder, you know, when you hear about these scams like the one that Jim Baker was involved in.
Oh, yeah.
Got a 46-year prison sentence and then was out in a couple of years.
Sure.
And back in business again. Yeah. The reason that occurs is they're worth more outside doing what they do than they are inside.
when they rub shoulders with the right people in Washington, of course they're gonna look at Pat Robertson. Pat Robertson has committed just as many scams as Jim Baker and Jimmy Swaggart and all these other phonies, and yet he's never done time. He's had investigations, the SEC, the IRS, several other, the State Department was even looking into some of his dealings over in China. Yet never once was the man ever, he's gotten fined a few times, but what does he care? He just gets on TV and cries for more money and it rolls in, so it doesn't matter to him. But he's never gone to jail for any of it. Yeah, he's committed all kinds of fiascos, violated major federal laws on many occasions. But he's well-connected. He grew up with Daddy Bush, George H.W., very close friends. And, of course, his father was a congressman, a major globalist whore himself.
Yeah. It's amazing. So you had a rude awakening then, and when it's of a spiritual nature, obviously then you start looking for the truth and you found it. Where do you see things heading right now? And you could be general and vague if you want, but I think you're sharp enough to hit the nail on the head and point out what's going on in a variety of areas.
Well, I'll tell you, if present trends continue, and unfortunately I see no indication that they're not going to continue, because we have, for the most part, an incredibly dumbed down and doped up and apathetic and pathetic public in this country, and in fact that applies around the world. I marvel that, I go in a lot of chat rooms sometimes and I'll hear a lot of Europeans, mock Americans. How dumb you are, you put up with Bush's shenanigans, now you're putting up with this guy's shenanigans. Yet, all the while, they're in a worse position than we are. They already have their European Union. We don't, as yet, anyway, have our version of that. Stick around. It's destined to, to curse us sooner or later, unless this country wakes up. But, they're no better off. They're dumbed down just as much as we are here in this country. They have their own propaganda that's got them fooled. But anyway, if present trends do continue, we're in a lot of trouble. I mean, as bad as things are now, they're just getting warmed up. We're going to see these problems escalate. What you see going on in the Gulf, again, they're just testing the waters further. How much more can we get away with? Look what they did after Katrina. Forget for a moment the high-tech weather modification technology of HAARP and whatnot. Just look at what they did after the storm, the criminal negligence that went on there. FEMA was caught cutting communication lines. Oh, that shouldn't surprise us, because FEMA's never done anything to help anybody during disaster anyway. All they've ever done is make the crisis worse and the people suffering worse. But this one here really topped it. This was the cherry on the cake here. They cut communication lines. They turned away 50 countries that were offering help, wouldn't allow people to get out and get their own help. Trucks were lined up from around the country that drove down there from miles outside the city. And we'll never know how many people died after the storm from, dehydration and starvation and disease spreading rapidly. Well, we'll never know, because they wouldn't allow reporters in there at all, and certainly not with cameras. There were a couple exceptions, but, after that 8-day-long vigil, most of the people started dying off by the 6th, 7th, and 8th day. There was nobody getting in there. Bush passed an executive order, wouldn't allow people in. He did allow some military personnel, both from returning from Iraq and from down in Mexico. And they were given, quote, shoot to kill, zero tolerance orders. He implemented martial law down there is what he did. So, again, we'll never know the carnage that was carried out down there, but it's obvious what was going on. They wanted to maximize the death toll down there so that Halliburton later, when they were awarded the bulk of that $57 billion that Congress appointed for rebuilding, they got that money, most of it, so they could build, hotels, resorts, whatever, and steal up all of that freed up land because all the former owners were dead. So, you just look at what these scumbags are getting away with. You see BP now. Anybody that can't see this for what it is, when you look at the historical perspective of the outrageous crimes that these scumbags have gotten away with, this is just more business as usual. How many times are Americans going to be screwed before they finally realize, all right, this is a scam, they're lying to us, I don't care what you say, El Presidente, you're full of crap, everything that comes out of your mouth is a lie, we know who you work for, shut the hell up, we're sick of it, we're not taking it anymore, hit the road. You know, I mean, that time passed a long time ago when we should have done this. Every day that goes by, it's just we're getting more and more in a situation where there'll be no coming out from this. Anyway, sorry, go ahead, Don.
No, it's okay. You're bringing up a good point. In this Horizon thing, you know, there was I have to tell you, just in my own research, that this goes back pretty much on a schedule of a year prior. April 15th is a day alleged to be the day they stopped running Well A. There's a Well B. That was in 2009. April 15th of 2010, they shut off this second well. They capped it and it wasn't even operational. There's a video that came out showing a beam from space hitting the platform, and it was videotaped by some young high school fishermen, high school age fishermen, we'll say. And it's been explained away and debunked as an anomaly of the camera. No, it's a reflection. It's a true reflection on the water of the same thing that's hitting the platform from the sky. You can see two independent beams burning holes into that platform. Now, that's to create a disaster that this thing blew up. Well, it did blow up, but what was the cause of it? Immediately upon bringing out that information, Dr. A. Truant was attacked. Multiple times, okay? His computers literally were just blasted out of cyberspace. Phone communications were cut off. Emails intercepted or shut off. No internet service, the whole nine yards. Over and over again. And I was amazed at how close what he was reporting was dovetailing with the research that I was doing. And we could actually tie these things together from two different angles. And it became very clear, you know, it's always the axiom, follow the money. And this is all about money. And we realized that this is all a ruse to support or to give a foundation to cap and trade. And then Dr. Ott started discovering the banks and the hedge fund companies that were waiting in the wings to distribute these carbon credits. And he brought up CCX in Chicago and Shore Bank. And wouldn't you know that the Obamas and the Clintons are involved in both of those organizations. So there's a pattern that's forming. And he's out playing golf. Oh, just, you know, I'll go shoot a round of golf and I'll do a cameo appearance on the beach. And they sent a busload of people. This is what the locals were reporting, that they'd bring in a busload of people, and these people would get off in white clothes and plastic gloves, and some of them were wearing masks, and they were acting like they were cleaning up the beach. And then as soon as he left, they were put back on the bus and taken out. Hey, it's a photo op. It's a psyop to misrepresent what's really going on. And behind the scenes, people were trying to get some relief for that area. Various products and technologies were being brought forth to put an end to this because everybody was concerned that they were destroying the life and the lives of the people that live around there in the Gulf. It was being done intentionally, but nobody could see why. So Dr. Ott started bringing this out, and I had already gone down the paper trail, and I immediately saw the connection Goldman Sachs had to what was going on in Chicago. And I'm still working on that piece. It's a massive amount of research. But I'm making sure that I have my ducks in a row. And, you know, to try to discredit us is an attempt to silence us or to discredit our work. We're not doing these things. We're, you know, and this truth is being revealed in spite of all the things you've said. And I agree with you on all these things. There's more truth coming out about what's been going on this planet for the past 13,000 years. It's coming to a head now. and they're doing their darndest to stop it, and it's still going to come out. Pitting us against each other is one of the methods that they've always used, and it's not warranted. You know, I'm doing my own research, and I'm having to fend off attacks and accusations that are not founded in truth. And those are the means that they use. Why else would this occur? You know, why would you be blamed for a murder because you're bringing out the facts about what's going on with the oil companies? Why would you? Now, maybe someone thinks because someone's name was CC'd on an email that connects them to another person. I didn't solicit being CC'd on an email from anyone. And I wasn't talking behind anyone's back or making accusations about anybody. Quite the contrary. So where's the sense in all of this? Doesn't make sense other than it's to divide and conquer. It's to try to discredit those that are bringing out the truth and carry on these programs because we are an impediment to what they're trying to do.
I mean, this is war they're waging against us. Can't call it anything else. It's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
And people say, well, that's crazy. Why would they do that? They're wrecking their own planet. They don't care. The lust for power goes beyond any normal sense of reasoning that normal people have. I mean, their mentality is literally this. If we can't have the whole world and control everything, then we'll destroy the entire planet if we have to. We're either going to get everything we want or no one's going to have anything. They really don't care. They dumped depleted uranium all over Iraq. It's now blowing across the Atlantic and has been detected across the eastern seaboard of the United States. I mean, these scumbags are actually breathing it themselves. But they don't care. They want to destroy everything. I mean, their own documents attest to it. They've actually stated this. You know, look at David Rockefeller in his 2000 book memoirs. I love to point people to that because nobody can deny that there's a conspiracy when you read statements like what he made in his book from people that are at the helm of this whole conspiracy. He stated, you know, there's people who claim that me and my family are conspiring with other elitists around the world to destroy American sovereignty and to create a world government. He's acting like it's paranoia and it's not true. But then he goes on to say this: to those who accuse me of this, I plead guilty and I'm proud of it. That's how we ended it off. Unbelievable. Right there, right in your face.
Yeah, and when Phil Fulford interviewed him, he edited the video with little, what do you call them? He made it a montage of four parts, basically, and in between each part, he had an explanation as to why he didn't come right out and ask this question, because Rockefeller would have gotten up and walked out. One must ask the question, how does one rate to even arrange such an interview in the first place?
Yeah.
You know, and what is the purpose of that? Is that to, you know, and it looked like Rockefeller himself had a handler in that video. If you watch his body language, he was looking up as if he was asking, should I answer this or what should I say? You know, he didn't know who Ron Paul was. You know, I don't know if you saw that interview, but
I didn't see that particular one. No,
it was very staged. Yeah, it's on YouTube probably still. You know, just Google.
Yeah,
Ben Fulford interviews David Rockefeller. You know,
it isn't staged anymore.
But that's somehow, and he's denying all this stuff, you know, and then Fulford says, well, if I would have asked him this way directly, he would have gotten up and walked out, you know, or, you know, he had a big goon standing over there in the corner, his bodyguard. And, you know, I didn't want to wrestle with that guy, or, you know, I'm paraphrasing what he said, but he was making excuses for why he didn't ask him certain questions or why he asked them the way they did. But what did it prove in the end? You know, based on what we know from research, years of research, all of us put together, these people have been on a mission to exterminate 7/8 of the world's population, if not more, and have been doing so through contrived wars and the pharmaceuticals and the oil companies and countless other things, just outright murder. The false flag events that lead to war. Whether you talk about how World War I, World War II, and our involvement, Pearl Harbor.
All nine yards.
People have a difficult time connecting the dots with those things. And all they have to do is make one statement, and that just makes it all go away.
Right.
You know, it's you're right. This has been planned. I think Franklin Delano Roosevelt probably undermined this country more than any other president, at least in his time.
Right. So
currently, what's going on now is just outrageous, what's going on.
Well, yeah, you know, in my estimation, he was absolutely the worst president in all of American history until Bush Jr. came along and, you know, he beat the record. And now this guy, it remains to be seen, but he's probably going to beat Bush's record. That's usually the trend. With each succeeding president, we get taken further down the rat hole.
Oh, I think he's beaten it already.
Well, yeah, actually, you could make that case. As a matter of fact, he just when you think it couldn't get worse, he has gone beyond Bush with a lot of his policies. Look what he did with that Interpol thing that he snuck through. You know, it never got any attention in the mainstream media, but he's given totalitarian power to Interpol. Such that, you know, they're above the courts now. You can't subpoena documents from them. They can operate under total secrecy. And for that matter, you know, our government can hide its documents at Interpol's headquarters there in New York. And they'll be immune from any subpoena.
Well, all of this is unconstitutional. First of all, this is being carried out by an infiltrator, a usurper.
Yeah.
And it's a conspiracy because they all know about this.
Yeah.
They read our research. They listen to our shows. Mm-hmm. They know that we know.
Sure.
But the average dumbed-down American that's watching mainstream media isn't getting the whole story. They're not getting any of the story.
Any of it, yeah.
You know, just recently you're starting to hear on a few mainstream AM stations, the Clear Channel stations,
mm-hmm.
certain talk show hosts will entertain the issue of a birth certificate controversy. This has been out there for a few years now. This has been out there. And we've discovered that other presidents have had the same controversy, Eisenhower being one. And I expose that in my research. I don't know if you read that, but it's pretty compelling.
I haven't read that, no.
Yeah, Teenage Mutant Ninja Eisenhowers. And then a follow-up, Teenage Mutant Ninja Birth Certificates. And I showed documentation that connects this. This was an infiltration operation from the former Soviet Union that was being orchestrated in 1942 under the guise of the UN.
Interesting. I'll have to check that out. It's right on your site?
Yes, it is. Go to directlightproductions.com, click on articles.
Excellent.
And it's hitting the mark, okay? Now, when you're over the target, you get flack. We say that all the time, okay? They say that in the military. If you're going to get flack when you're over the target. Why are we getting flack? Because we're putting the truth out there. And this ties in exactly, Charlie, with what's going on today. It's been in force that whole time. If I can shift gears just for a second, the Kennedy assassination occurred on November 22nd, 1963. There were two other deaths that occurred that day. Aldous Huxley died on November 22nd, 1963. Some pronounce his name Aldo. And the other individual was a Christian who turned away from Christianity, renounced it, and then in his later years came back to it. C.S. Lewis also died on November 22nd, 1963. Little trivia there. Don't you find that interesting?
Very interesting. Where'd you pick that up?
Well, I'm doing some research on some things, and I was actually looking at a picture of Lee Harvey Oswald that was submitted to Congress during the Warren Commission hearings that were occurring.
Yeah, is that the Russian picture there that was supposedly from?
Well, it was supposed to have been a picture taken in Southern California or Texas, somewhere, you know, in a moderate climate, a backyard picture with a picket fence in the background. And what's interesting is the shadows go in all different directions in this picture. He's alleged to be holding two newspapers that don't have print on them. You know, it's a total Photoshop job, although in those days they didn't have Photoshop. They had the technology to manufacture those pictures. And I looked at that particular picture. I hadn't seen it before and found it extremely interesting that they used that to imply that, you know, he was the shooter.
Yeah.
And then you had all kinds of other stuff. But
You're talking about the cut and paste job there where they got his head silhouetted over the body.
Yeah, well,
it's like the rifle. Is that the one you're talking about?
He's holding a rifle.
Right. Yeah, you got the shadow angles.
Yeah, the shadow angles go in every direction except.
That's unbelievable. What a joke.
Okay.
Right.
And we have the same thing in my Three Stooges Go to Washington. I show the same fraud in every one of the Obama photos.
Well, see, I thought you were talking about Hedel. I forget his first name now. There was this other on his person when they arrested him. Harvey had two IDs. Lee Harvey had two IDs. One with his, you know, Lee Harvey Oswald name, and then another one. I forget the first name now, but Hedel was the last name anyway. It was supposed to be this guy, this Dutchman or something. Do you know about that?
I've heard about that, but I don't recall the name like you. But I looked at some other names, and in fact, I took a still of a video off of a History Channel show, and you can clearly see George H.W. Bush standing in a cloud of smoke of gunfire next to a man who appears to be of Cuban origin with Otto Skorzeny standing behind him. And that shot actually verifies what Skorzeny said on his deathbed. And that was covered in my George H. Scherf piece. So you haven't been reading my stuff. You know, it really connects the dots.
Well, I wasn't aware of that picture, but yeah, I know definitely.
It's not in that article. I came up with that sometime later. But and then there's another picture of Bush standing right there in front of the book depository. And he says he doesn't remember where he was in that day.
Oh, yeah, he was definitely in Dallas. There's no question about it. He's so full of crap. You know, he denied that he ever worked for the CIA up until he became director. Well, first of all, like, they're really going to pick some guy off the street randomly and say, hey, you want to be the head of the CIA? What the heck? Yeah, he was with the agency right out of Yale.
Well, he was
during the 1950s.
He was the son of Nikola Tesla's handler, if you want to call him that, posing as his secretary, his business manager, who was working for the Rockefellers in the Union Sulphur Company.
Yeah.
And that's evidenced by one of Tesla's letters to him, George H. Scherf Sr. And Skorzeny backs all this up, too.
Right.
Okay. I pegged them being from Dürlich, Germany, as an intuitive. And subsequently, I discovered a document that showed that there was such a declaration from one George H. Scherf, being from Dürlich, Germany.
What do you think of the possibility of Barbara having a liaison there with Aleister Crowley? That's an interesting proposition.
Well, there were, according to Skorzeny, there were love letters from Barbara Bush to Nikola Tesla, too.
Oh, really?
Oh, mm-hmm.
Very interesting.
Oh, yeah. The connections were deep. Now, Prescott Bush is alleged to have orchestrated getting Lee Harvey Oswald's papers in order to bring him into the United States to play the role that he played. Actually, two Connecticut senators at the time were involved in that.
Mm-hmm.
You don't hear much about that. George de Morenschild, very interesting Russian man of great wealth, played a role. He was one whose life ended suiciding himself with a double barrel shotgun.
Sure.
Yeah. And one that he wouldn't be able to reach the trigger and hold it in his mouth at the same time. You know, he was not a large man. He was a very small man.
If I had a dollar for every time I hear stories like this, it's 200 people roughly just involving Kennedy's death alone, quote, committed suicide or at least died under very mysterious circumstances, all of them, you know, the first few years after his death.
Yes.
Unbelievable.
So, you know, there's a price for bringing out the truth. And you know, the talk show hosts and the journalists are under attack. And I'll agree with many people who have said this many times. I heard this tonight on another show here that, you know, we need to stay together. We need to stick together. But making accusations of being involved in someone's murder is just outrageous. And those are the tactics that they use to try to discredit the truth that comes out in the research, in the reporting. What are your thoughts along those lines in a general sense? Because you have to, someone as sharp as you, Charlie, has to see what's going on a higher level. You know, there's spiritual warfare going on here. I know you've said that. What are your thoughts?
As far as them wanting to, what you mean, suppress the truth? Or?
Well, that and in terms of what you see happening, I know that you're not just burying your head in. I'm assuming this. I mean, I sense that about your character and your integrity, that you see a bigger picture unfolding here. Now, on one side, you see, you know, them doing their darndest to bring about a new world order and basically fully enslave the whole planet, okay? And there are a variety of ways that they envision this transpiring. But on another side, do you see any salvation for mankind?
I see where you're going. Well, like I said, I've had to rethink that whole issue in light of my recent findings of, in order to answer that question, I'd have to go into a whole history of some of the things I've been finding recently. I've come to the point where I had to rethink all of my spirituality. I've trashed the entire Bible. I've had to, because it's pure crap. Especially when you come to the Old Testament, you get this fire-breathing dragon of a god commanding mass murder and killing of babies. You can just write that whole thing off right there. But in doing that, by implication, you know, the New Testament is the baby that must be thrown out with the bathwater as well, on the simple basis that the New Testament acknowledges and honors this fire-breathing god of the Old Testament. You know, it's a branch of the same religion. So if you're going to throw the old, you have to throw the new. But it turns out that the new is full of crap as much as the old, if not more. There are major, major contradictions. I can't believe, Don, that I never saw these before. It's the perfect example of how you don't see something unless you're looking for it. I was never looking for contradictions in the New Testament because I always had assumed that they weren't there. And that any time someone thought there was contradictions, it's just because, you know, they were misunderstanding what it was saying. But if you studied it carefully, you'd discover that there really aren't contradictions. It's perfectly consistent, blah, blah, blah. But like I said, back in February, I started, researching from that angle. And, you know, I had a friend of mine show me some things, and so I took off from there, and I just couldn't believe it. The more I dug, it just got worse and worse and worse to the point now where I have to write the whole thing off. So, you know, if you had asked me that question, 7 or 8 months ago, I would have had a totally different answer. than the one I'll give you now, I would have said, oh, God's going to intervene and he's going to bring these people to justice and, you know, blah, blah, blah. I would hope there is a God, that he is going to intervene, but, I can't say with any sense of authority, quote unquote, like I would have before, having believed in the Bible. I would hope that there is some, you know, supreme intelligence out there watching us that's going to intervene. But as I see it now, our hope for the future is for man himself to stand up. I'm talking about the masses in this country and around the world, collectively, for people to stand up and tell their governments to go straight to hell. Because nothing is going to change unless the people who are getting the shaft take the initiative themselves. You know, I think that's one of the biggest conspiracies with religion right there, Don. People are told and led to believe and do believe that vengeance belongs to God. So religious people tend to sit back and be pacifistic and allow themselves to have that splintery 2x4 rammed up their hind parts and don't do anything about it because they think, in fact, that someday God is going to intervene. That's pretty interesting, though, because if you read that book that they claim to follow, there's many instances in there of people standing up to oppression. But somehow, nope, Jesus comes along now and says, turn the other cheek, love your enemies. I'm sorry, but that doesn't work with these people.
Yeah, well, where's the Christianity in the leaders that are conducting these wars? There's certainly a lot of hypocrisy there, isn't there?
Look at the crowd that Bush drew. Not Obama now because he's a, quote, liberal, whatever the heck that means. But Bush having been a conservative and claiming to have been a Christian who received Jesus while talking with Billy Graham, 33rd degree Mason himself, by the way. But anyway, he had a major backing from the religious world. And yet the guy was, unreligious, unchristian as you can possibly get. But it just shows how dumbed down these people are. They fall for Pat Robertson chicanery, too. Pat Robertson himself is a crook, a liar, a fraud artist, on and on and on. They fall for his rhetoric. America likes the label game. I swear, if a burglar busted in one of these phony Christians' homes, as long as he had a cross around his neck and said, praise the Lord, as he's emptying their furniture from their living room into a U-Haul, they'd probably say, oh, hey, don't forget to close the door on your way out and go back to bed. You know, that's how dumbed down people are in this country. They, as long as you have the kind of label that they want to see, it doesn't matter what your actions do to contradict your rhetoric. They just listen to the rhetoric. They look at the label. Really disgusting.
And they use religion as a weapon of war. They use it as a cause or a foundation of war.
Oh, yeah.
All religions are professing to know God or to be a pathway to knowing God.
Right. They'll talk about love and they'll talk about, turning away from evil. But when you point evil out to them that they're doing or their church is doing, they'll justify it. They'll find a passage in the Bible where, for example, God commanded Israel to go and wipe out the Canaanites or whatever. So they'll point to that and say that what we're doing in Iraq is a good thing. We're just following what God had said long ago. There are times when you have to go to war. And yet all the while, they'll claim to be against war because it's evil, it's bloodshed, and it's schizophrenia. It really is.
Yeah, it's psychotic is what it is.
Yeah.
To say that debt leads to abundance or debt leads to prosperity is ridiculous. That's what we have in the financial community. To say that war brings peace is another lie. You should say peace brings war, because we've certainly had a lot more war and a lot more murder and destruction, wanton murder, planet-wide, under the guise of promoting democracy or stopping tyranny. Now the buzzword is terrorism. it's insane. And yet you have people believing like you said, they're believing that all this stuff is true. And I'm for supporting our military, but don't lead our military to innocent slaughter. You know, believing that they're fighting for their country when they're fighting for the bankers and the oil companies and the pharmaceutical companies and the intelligence agencies who are orchestrating all of this madness, because they're nothing but covers for organized crime.
And they flip us the bill every time.
Yeah, we pay for the privilege, don't we?
What a rotten scam they get going. It's incredible. Hey, literally, we're slaves while yet believing ourselves to be free. You know that famous quote, there's no people who are more hopelessly enslaved than those who falsely believe themselves to be free. And you are falsely believing yourself to be free when you are, in fact, paying for things that not only are not in your interest, but are actually antithetical to your interests. You know, all these phony wars that we've been fighting for decades on end that never had anything to do with the American way, truth and justice and freedom, democracy. Nothing. Nothing. Every single war we fought, especially since World War II, and even before that, but, you know, most of the wars we've been involved in have occurred since World War II, they've all been a fraud. It had nothing to do with containing communism. The real communists have been over in Washington, or should I say New York, real source of power in this
Texas
country.
Dennis.
Yeah, right. Well. Yeah. but, and, you know, the current wars we're fighting have nothing to do with fighting terrorism. I mean, even Bush himself admitted that Iraq had no connections with Al-Qaeda. You know, there was no 9/11 connection with Iraq. So what the hell are we in there for? But then again, what are we in Afghanistan for that matter? You know, that had nothing to do with 9/11.
No,
I mean, that was admitted.
Poppy fields.
Right, right. And the mineral resources. I had to laugh a couple months ago. It was a big top story about the minerals that they discovered. Yeah, like they didn't know they were there already. Brzezinski talked about it in his 1997 book, The Grand Chessboard, is one of the reasons to go into Eurasia was to get the oil reserves there. But in any case, I mean, well, the oil too, but also the mineral resources in the mountains, you know, Tora Bora and so forth. So, but anyway, just a couple months ago, they come out with this report now. Oh, we just discovered huge supplies of mineral resources. Again, not only did they know this before, they're lying that they're just finding this out. But they said, and this is even more sickening, they said that this is going to be a great way to help stimulate the Afghan economy. shut up. Yeah, just like they're going to give the Iraqis their oil and help the Iraqis boost their economy. What a friggin' joke. It really gets so disgusting to listen to this crap.
It cost Pat Tillman his life, didn't it? Discovering the truth of what was going on there.
Yeah. Yeah. So it will cost anybody else in key positions that find out and make known what's really going on.
And assassinating someone at point-blank range with three military rifles, probably M16s, is hardly to be considered friendly fire, which they said it was.
Well, you know, I've yet to look into this yet. It only just happened today, but we had that death of the former senator there. What was his name? He held the record for being the longest running Republican senator in American history, 40 plus years. His name escapes me now. He just died in an Alaskan plane crash.
Really? Also, today, huh?
Yeah, I forget his name now. He's a well-known, was a well-known senator. Anyway, interestingly, also on board the plane was apparently NASA's top official. And so I'm wondering what connection there is there, because they just recently passed this budgetary bill for NASA and, you know, the new replacement for the space shuttle thing. I'm wondering if there's some connection there. Maybe he wasn't impressed with what was going on, some shenanigans or something. You know, NASA has a history of mysterious deaths, too, going back to the days of Apollo.
Yeah, many microbiologists, people who happen along the railroad tracks or the airport.
Oh, yeah.
Mina Arkansas.
Incident, sure.
You know,
sure.
It's in the hundreds.
Yeah, yeah.
And certainly.
By the way, we talked about Columbine earlier. Did you know that since Columbine, there were about a half a dozen teachers and students who actually named, you know, we know that Klebold and Harris were not the only two involved in the shootings. There were several others, at least half a dozen others that were described, you know, by various eyewitnesses. But six teachers and students actually mentioned by name some of these other assailants. And it was in their depositions. When the depositions were released publicly, these names were blacked out, of course. But apparently there was some fear that they were going to be talking about these names in public. They didn't want those names out. So one by one, all of them have mysteriously died since then. Hit by a car, you know, pushed off a cliff, you know, on and on and on. Every one of them that mentioned those names are all dead now. Not interesting.
The name of the senator, our listeners are informing us, is Ted Stevens.
That's it, Stevens, yeah.
Okay.
It's, hey, what can I say? It's after two
I hadn't heard about that. That was early today that was
probably? Earlier today, yeah.
Huh.
And, you know, whenever you have these, quote, plane crashes, I mean, come on, how many times has this happened? Jeez, you had Ron Brown. You had Senator Wellstone, for crying out loud, JFK Jr. I mean, we can go on all night with those. Darijos, the former president of Panama that the CIA wanted out of the way. With that one, they said that the thing crashed into a mountain, and yet hundreds of witnesses said they saw the plane explode in midair and then crash into the mountain. But don't pay attention to those insignificant details. Just go along with what Operation Mockingbird tells you. Shut up.
Yeah, and David Hawkins and Field McConnell have been exposing that for some time. They've been on the show. In fact, much of you know that Buffalo crash, flight 3407, that shows connections to Acorn through all the people that they had on as TV witnesses, alleged eyewitnesses.
Right.
All these people.
It makes me think of TWA 800. You know that. Went down in New York there back in 1996. 600 people all up and down the coast from various different angles all saw a missile being launched from sea level, rising up, meeting up with the plane, and the CIA was stating that, oh no, it was an optical illusion. They even produced, at our taxpaying expense, a $100,000 animation film to try to explain how it was an optical illusion. There was so much outrage that they decided never to release the thing. They never did, you know, they had produced it, but they didn't release it. What a scam. Optical illusion from multiple angles, hundreds of eyewitnesses all seeing. And, of course, there was evidence, too. One of the people working on the inside in the hangar investigating the plane cut out a small little piece of one of the seats that had some of this mysterious residue on it that he had already tested positive for, you know, missile fuel, like cordite or whatever. And so he sent it to an independent lab. Actually, he sent it to a reporter. And as soon as she got the package, she was sitting down at her desk to open it up, and all of a sudden an FBI official walks into the office, demands she hands the package over, and at first she's saying, no, this is my mail. He said, ma'am, that contains evidence for, you know, involved in a federal investigation. If you do not hand it over, you will be taken to court and, you know, blah, 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 blah. Unbelievable. So a key piece of evidence showing residue from cordite on the back of this plane seat. How did they even know that this guy did this? It shows just how much, how paranoid they are. They don't miss a trick. How come, though? Gee, the FBI is always on top of stuff like this. You know, like on 9/11, they seized surveillance footage at the gas station near the Pentagon, surveillance footage from a hotel down the street whose cameras were fixed on the Pentagon the morning of 9/11. Why can't we get that kind of efficiency, Don, from the Air Force launching F-15s and 16s that morning? The FBI was pretty efficient. They were there within minutes seizing these videotapes.
Mm-hmm. And then they brought out their share of talk show hosts on certain Patriot networks saying, I was there, I saw it. Did you see it? You know, that's supposed to make it credible.
Yeah, and then you get some bozo. Yeah, I saw it all right. Honey, do you know what he's talking about?
The first time in history that buildings were capable of eating airlines. Commercial jets.
What a fiasco. America, I'm sure none of your listeners, Don, but speaking to America in general here. America, if you fell for that, you are indeed the dumbest of the dumb. I mean, initially you can understand people falling for it. But, you know, with all the stuff that's come out now, with all the hindsight we have, no, there's just no excuse. Anybody now, quite frankly, Don, I think anybody who falls for it now, again, they're either half, you know, mentally retarded or they're just lying. They know the truth and they're just lying and trying to cover it up. But anybody who's anybody with a brain right now, you just can't possibly deny that 9/11 was an inside job. There's no way around it.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it's a multidimensional issue, too, because you have the dumbing down of people through the indoctrination programs that they call education. I mean, yeah, I'm hearing things from teachers now that they don't want kids to be able to read or to do math. Well, I guess they have enough accountants now for their dirty books. And everything will be end up just being computerized, which is also a big part of all of this.
Well, they already took foreign languages for the most part, Greek and Latin certainly, which are great languages. They're fairly easy to learn, and they do help the brain to actually think cognitively. You know, the same part of your brain you use for math and for foreign languages is what you use for, you know, logical reasoning. By not teaching that, they're not stimulating that part of the brain. And so, yeah, coupled with the effects of the dope that they got them on, you know, Ritalin and whatnot, and the dumbed-down nature of the textbooks, yeah, you're setting the next generation up. In fact, the next generation has already been set up because it's been going on for decades, to be incapable of thinking for themselves. So in some sense, you almost can't hold accountable some America, a good many Americans today, because they've been dumbed down by design and don't even know it.
Mm-hmm. I find it rather interesting that BP owned, they bought the oil company that funded the research done on HAARP and developing the HAARP array up there in Alaska by Bernard Eastland. It was financed by ARCO.
Right, it was a division of ARCO that actually built it, yeah.
And I find it interesting that BP acquired ARCO. So do they have a stake in HAARP?
Yeah, that's interesting.
That connection's certainly there, and it certainly plays into the problems up at Prudhoe Bay. And then you have the Exxon Valdez. I want to say Valdez. I don't know why they pronounce it Valdez. But
yeah.
Anyway, you have
a connection there.
There are people saying that spill, is still ongoing. They're still suffering from that. So this is going on, and there's a rash of this going on all over the planet right now. Does it not appear to be orchestrated?
Well, amongst other things, this is going to drive up the price of oil, obviously. It's going to destroy businesses, especially in the Gulf area. That's a very important, you know, that was their hope with Katrina. Apparently, Katrina wasn't effective enough. So now they get this fiasco going on. They want to wipe out that area clean and then come in and, you know, after they clean up, they're going to take over the whole area. They're going to monopolize everything there. But in the meantime, it's probably going to result, it's already resulted in the death of God knows how many marine creatures. Right here up in Massachusetts, in fact, just yesterday, there were hundreds of fish that washed up dead on shore down the Cape. And they said that, they had been dead for several days. So it appears that they were washed up via the Gulf Stream right up to the Cape, probably from right down in the Gulf region. Who knows? But anyway, that's another fringe benefit to this. You know, you're not only seeing animals die, but you're going to see people die from this, directly or indirectly, you know, from the implications of this thing. The ecological rippling effect we haven't yet to see just how bad this thing really is. Of course, they're whitewashing it down quite a bit, too. You know, they're trying to make it look like it's not such a big deal, and I got to laugh, you know, oh, they got rid of the former CEO, and now they replaced him with a new guy, so we don't have to worry now. They just take one scumbag and replace him with another. What a joke. But, you know, then you get these commercials where now he's apologizing and we're working night and day. Oh, it's so endearing. You know, you might as well have a violin playing in the background. How disgusting.
Yeah.
It never should have happened in the first place.
No, they had to. This was a pretext for setting up cap and trade. There's no doubt about that. And what's that about? That's about taxing people on the amount of carbon dioxide they produce.
The global warming scam didn't go over for them very good. So, you know,
they gotta play
something else. What a joke.
Oh, it's ridiculous. Well, Charlie, we're out of time. We actually went over, but I guess we were given a dispensation for us not being able to connect with you at the top. I want you to come back, not wait so long.
Sure. No problem. I'll be around next week. The week after, I'm going away. But, next week, the week, you know, 2 weeks from then, I'll be around. So just, you know, send me an email. Let me know.
Okay. All right. I'm booked for the month, as you know. And usually at the top of the month, but I'll certainly have you back next month, at least a couple of times. And
I'd
like to continue this dialogue, but I'm going to ask you to read some of my research, okay?
Yeah, for sure. So it sounds really good.
And, you know, we can entertain a couple of those topics because it does tie in exactly with what's going on today.
Sure.
And there was some interesting revelations there. And I just was fortunate enough to fall into some original copies of documents, particularly a Pony Express that had been worked out between Denison, Texas, and Washington, D.C. during preceding the campaign and during the campaign to put Dwight David Eisenhower in office.
Mm-hmm.
I went down the rabbit hole on his genealogy, and he's directly linked to the Austria-Hungarian Empire, which a lot of this stuff is coming from.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think you'll find it very interesting. Maybe you can have me on one of your shows and we can talk about it.
Yeah, sure, definitely.
But I want to encourage you to read it. I ask my listeners to do the same thing. And, you know, not everybody's going to agree with what you write, but I can tell you that there's nothing that an original document can do more to reveal the truth.
That's right. That's all. Right. You can't deny that. Yeah.
You have
that opinion.
You have problems with the veterans not getting their benefits, and those funds have been raided since 1942 using fictitious identities, identity theft, and all of this is converted into real estate, which is then converted into businesses, and it's all owned by this cabal that's basically robbing this from the American people and have been doing it for a long time.
Yep.
And that's discussed in depth as well.
Sickening.
So I want to thank you for being on Evident Footprints. Give out. You don't have a website, do you?
No, I don't. I got to hook up with somebody sometime. I just don't have time to figure out how to do that. And I'm so busy researching, writing.
Yeah. Well, give out the information about your show, if you could, the times and the days and how people could tune in to listen to you.
Yeah, it's oraclebroadcasting.com. I'm on Monday to Friday from 8 to 10 a.m. Eastern. And, like I said, I don't have a website, but my books are available on Amazon.com. So people can just type my name in, Charles Giuliani. It is spelt like the former New York mayor, but it's no relation, Giuliani. Just type my name in and you'll see the titles I have, The New World Disorder, Piercing the Fog of 9/11. And I got another really interesting book called An Alternative View of the Distant Past. Pretty interesting, looking at ancient history from an alternative perspective as opposed to the crap that they feed us in mainstream academia.
Yeah, okay. Well, there you have it, folks. Charlie, I want to thank you for being on the show. And look forward to the next time. And
all right.
I wish you well. Keep up the great work you're doing.
My pleasure.
We're already getting comments on your voice, so.
Hopefully good ones.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank you. And,
you bet.
And the best to you, okay?
Yeah, we'll be in touch. I'll have you on my show again sometime, too.
All right, great. Folks, there you have it, another show. And I want to, again, express my gratitude for Charlie Giuliani coming on the show with his busy schedule. Special thanks to Wind Talkers Radio Network and blogtalkradio.com. Also, I want to thank Don Newsom on the sound tonight, Don and Doug Newsom, for making Evident Footprints possible, and most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join me tomorrow night when my guest will be none other than Dr. Mike Castle. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.